Father, we just want to thank you for everything that you've done in this past year, and I just want to say thank you for revealing your plan. The word that came this afternoon that was very strong was everyone has a dream. It's time for this dream to live. And the scripture that came was, I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord, and it stops there. It's not all about the other's personal stuff. It's God knows the plan he has for you, and he reveals through dreams. So, Father, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14. Ministering spirits in the heavens, all around us, doing their work. We are grateful for them. We are honored that they're with us, and we look for more. Last night before I went to bed, I was pressed to take communion, and I was just crying out to the Lord because the brain gets in the way. Anybody know about the brain? Okay. Well, someone had given me Psalm 148. And it really connected with Mom and Dad, because they've been both on my heart. And I asked him to honor me with some information, because I'm nosy. Anybody nosy? Okay. So I wrote that down again this morning. I says, it is 1 year since Mom is with you. And now I thank you for the information, because I had a dream. And it was awesome because both Mom and Dad were in the dream. And in the dream, I'm in a garage. It's good size. Got a double or triple door. I can't tell. It's big, very big, very white, nice and clean. And I'm waiting for Dad to get into his car. And Mom is with him. But she's kind of sitting in the car, which is very habitual for when I was younger. Dad would be very involved with many people, and of course we, Mom and I, would have to wait. And I'm waiting for him, and I will close this big garage door as soon as he and Mom leave. And they're going to Canada. Dad is talking with a person, and again I'm waiting, which is what I did when he was being himself. And I put down praise the Lord, because sometimes it felt like, oh my God, is he ever going to finish? Anybody know how? Okay. Then I close the door and I leave and I go into a parking lot because I need to get my car. And I find so many cars are all banged up. And I'm getting upset because I can't see mine. I'm supposed to meet and catch up with Mom and Dad, and now I will be late. All these emotions are going through me, and I need to find my car. It's the brown Buick or gold Buick, whatever color you call it. I look, and I'm aware that people are watching me. I sense I'm behind St. Anne's Church parking next to the school, but I'm not sure. But that's the sense that I have. So it's kind of a churchy atmosphere. Then I wake up and I ponder, and I must be my church ministry under pressure. And obviously, the darkness wants to destroy the house of prayer. But I go back to sleep, and this is real, and I find my car, and it is snug in between two other cars, just tight. And they fit together, end to end. So I said, okay, Lord, this is cool. And I just thanked him for continuing his work. After I looked for understanding, a couple of things made it pretty clear. I believe that the scripture again that I gave you earlier, Hebrews 1, came very strongly in my heart. That the Lord sends his angels ahead of us to prepare. And as I went through the day, you know how sometimes you have something that comes and the Lord starts putting pieces together that you don't understand? Well, my last visit to Canada was very busy. It was wonderful to see a lot of people, but some of the normal people that I would have liked to connect to didn't have time. But today I'm having flashbacks of, Mom, her desire to see her mother, her desire to see her dad, who used to live with us. And, you know, God does some very, very strange things. For a week and a half now, back at our anniversary, I was very tired of the bedspread that we had. And so I bought a new bedspread for kind of a surprise for my wife and I. And a week and a half ago, I'm making the bed. And you know when something flashes and you don't understand what it is? Well, I'm having flashbacks of my grandmother's bedspread when she had her apartment. Her little house, if you wish. It's right at the top of the stairs. Her bedspread was handmade. It was off-white and it had all kinds of patterns in it. It was all hand-stitched. And for some odd reason, I have a thought pattern that she made that when she was very, very young. And this bedspread that we bought, or I bought, is very similar. And it's got the same colors. Another week later goes by, and I'm making the bed again, and this time I'm getting a better picture of Grandma's bedspread. I'm saying, God, what are you doing? So I walked out of the bedroom, and I said to Irene, I said, I'm absolutely convinced I bought this bedspread because it reminds me of Grandma's bed. And, of course, anybody know what it feels like to jump on Grandma's bed when she's not looking? We kids got away with a few things, and we're not going to go there. All these things are connected together because part of what God was really pushing is he gave me a vision of one of the, well, actually on more than one trip. I think it's at least three trips that I went to Quaticook, where I was born, where I was baptized in the little village, but I had my first communion in the big, big church on top of the mountain. There's one mountain in Quaticook, and that's where the church was built. Well, on the back of the church is a cemetery, and that's where my grandparents on the high point are buried. That's where the family plot is. God has sent me there on three different occasions to pray for that city by myself. And these things were flashing before me. And I'm thinking, okay, God, okay. You know, sometimes you do these things and you do them in obedience, and then you forget them. But they were coming back. All intercorrelated with the dream. Now I've got flashbacks of my dad's presence when his godson was with me at a full gospel meeting in Sherbrooke, and my dad has totally been gone for years, and now his presence is so strong that I know that he's there. And all these things are just like spots being brought in, one after another after another. And I'm saying, okay, God, I'm catching on. He says, yes, and they're leaving for Canada now. And you're going a little later. So I know that I know. And then, of course, the word that Gail gave tonight, to me personally, was that I'm going to be walking in new places, or something to that effect, correct? Well, that confirms that, you know, and there's a song. Whenever the Lord would send me to Canada to minister, that would trigger me. You know, God always uses certain things to just wake you up. Well, that song has been in my head. And the other night, I'm watching some guys on the Praise the Lord program, and they were singing, and it reminded me of that, and I got that nudge again. You're definitely going to Canada. So I know I'm going to Canada. I don't know when, but that'll be made clear. But the scripture that I want to take you to is Genesis. Because you see, every one of us has a dream. Not every one of us are going to do what Joseph did. But I want you to go to Genesis 37. I want you to see a little bit of what happens when you have a dream. One of my great dreams when we did many prayer meetings at my brother's house was that the whole city would be transformed. And when I saw the persecution that I received on Saturday night, again, I was rejoicing because I know that there's a need of salvation for that city. And it's not make-believe. And I remind you that Jesus went back to Nazareth. He gave him a chance. He went to Jerusalem. He gave them a chance. And then when they made their final decision, he wept. I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but I have his spirit in me. Try it on. Say, I'm not Jesus, but I have his spirit inside of me, calling me forth for the dream that he's placed in my heart. Amen? Verse 1, Jacob, chapter 37, Genesis 37. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. By the way, where have we just entered? This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flock with his brothers. The sons of Bila and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his older sons or other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word. It's not about him, but it is to him. Notice the persecution starts. Because the father decided to bless his son. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. So look it. When revelation comes about your particular calling, and you open your mouth too soon, has anybody ever done that? Yeah. Okay. And those of you who are listening to this message, it's the same thing for you. He told his brothers and they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were, notice he's including them, binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. While your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it, and his brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had spoken or said. In my experience of opening my mouth way too soon, persecution also came. All part of the plan to get rid of the chaff. Right, girl? All part of God's sovereignty to awaken us that when you have a dream And you have a God-given plan that has been placed inside of you. Remember, Jeremiah 29:11. God has a plan for us. And I know it's to prosper another, but it is also a plan. Now, has he told you his plan? If you look at Joseph's life, did God tell him his plan? Not really.
Just a snippet.
Just a little. Yeah, that's the word she used, a snippet. All right? A little piece. And how many know that a little piece is better than nothing? But we want more. And you know, when that dream came, I said, Lord, now I know Mom and Dad are ministering together. That made me very happy. They're working together as a team again. They were a great team together. There was nowhere my father would let my mother sit behind. He always made sure that we would be together. Here's another piece of the puzzle that came today. I was about 15, maybe. And we went to a country fair in Montpelier. And it was a big, big field. And there was a small, tiny airport. And my dad says, let's get a ride in the airplane so we can see our house from the sky, you know. My mother says, you're crazy. No way. You're not going to go in that plane. And sure enough, the next thing I know, me and Dad are heading towards the plane, and she says, if you're going to die, I'm not going to stay here and watch you two fall. Out of the car she ran, and she got in the back of the plane, and we laughed all the way through this experience. You're not leaving me behind, she said. So I was giggling by myself today, and I'm thinking, all right, Ma, you played this trick now. I can say you left me behind. But she really didn't, because we're connected. We're one in him. You know, we're one in him. Amen?
Amen.
So these flashbacks were happening, and it's all part of the godly plan that he has for our lives. And when I say our lives, he's put you and me as part of a body of believers to do a work for him that is not what others do. It is not what others are doing. We are different. We were designed by God to be different. That's why God is not filling us up until we're ready. You know, and sometimes we'd like to be running ahead, and we'd like to see this, and we'd like to see that. I love what we're doing. Because you know what? We are becoming intimate. Not only with him, but with each other. We are starting to sense the weaknesses and the strengths of each other. We're starting to depend upon each other as needed. And you know what? That irritates darkness all the more. Verse 8, his brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Now, I mean, you'd think he would shut up by this time, but I'm just as guilty as Joseph. I've done the same thing. Listen, he said. I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Watch this one. Verse 10 is very important. When he told his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. The father kept the info in his mind. Why? Because even after you've shut your mouth up. Now, I know that's never happened to any of you guys. After you ponder and you realize maybe you spoke out of your emotions, maybe you spoke out of a moment of jealousy or anger, a little tiny amen.
Amen.
Never happened to you guys?
Of course it did.
And you just don't want to give in to give them an opportunity to realize, yes, maybe you have a dream, maybe God has plans for you, but how can I accept this? How can I become subservient to my brother or sister in Christ? Because God has prepared them for a new position in God. After all, Jeremiah chapter 1. God decided on Jeremiah's dream before he was born. Close your eyes for a moment. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Father, I'm nosy. I'm really needing info. A download from heaven. I'm ready for more of what you have prepared for me. It's not what my neighbor has. It is unique for me in the body of Christ. I can't expect a foot to do the hand's work. So, Lord, I'm different, but I'm united. Use me. Recreate the dream if I dropped it. Bring it back to life if I lost it. Bring resurrection back into my heart for the dream you have for me. If I've forgotten or didn't pay attention, I ask you to recreate it. It needs a real strong revelation. And if I get persecuted, so be it. Joseph didn't give up. Even when his father was angry. His brothers were angry. But God was happy. Because Joseph was on a journey. And so am I. We're going to shift over to chapter 39. We're going to touch verse 2. Joseph was with, the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. He lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes, and became his attendant. Notice again, the favor was there, and an Egyptian saw it. He saw what the hand of the Father was doing through this servant that he had purchased. It was visible. Take that in mind, because even those that don't know the Lord are going to be able to see how you are blessed and honored of the Heavenly Father. How you prosper when there's no sensible thing going on. You become a living epistle, if you wish. You become the living word, because the blessings are yours because of His activity in your heart. So again, Joseph found favor, verse 4, in his eyes, and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. That's pretty intense. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Are you catching on? Is that feasible? Has it happened to you? Does it create jealousy for the unbeliever? It's designed by God to create jealousy. And you say, oh my God. Well, hopefully they'll cause them enough jealousy that they'll be able to see. And that's the intent of the heart. Now I want you to skip forward. Verse 23. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So even when he landed in prison, who's with him?
The Lord.
Chapter 40. Sometimes later, the cupbearer and the baker and the kings of Egypt offended their master. And the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. Put them in custody in the house of a certain guard, captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker, and the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him, in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" "We both had a dream," they answered. "There is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, Do not interpretation belong to God? Tell me your dream." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream, and he said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me," etc., etc. And I don't want to go into all the details. I want you to kind of figure out that the purposes of God were being served in a jail. We have a young man right now that's in a jail. Unbeknownst to you, Pete, his father, when he first got the phone call, spoke to his son about that very scripture. When the father called me, I quoted these verses. "You had no way of knowing," and when we took Holy Communion Sunday, "your word to me was, this is like Joseph," or something to that effect.
He'll have a Joseph's
experience, or
restoration.
A Joseph restoration. Okay. So, when I called the father in the afternoon, around 4 or 5 o'clock, I gave him those words, and that father was jumping up and down. You see, that father is learning the intensity of the need for him to be in the body and the value of who he is in Christ. His comment to me was, "I'm closer to my son now because of this experience." And he's now fulfilled the reality in his own heart that I would drive all the way to visit with him, giving him value that he had not received up until this time. Verse 20. Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in the interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. What does that say? Is it possible that you forgot? Sometimes we forget what Papa has for his plan. And since we're not quite ready to serve yet, maybe we're not quite prepared. And there's a few more adjustments being made. And we kind of want to let go of the dream. My prayer today is that God's plan will be recreated in your heart with such a strong impression of your value that you will know that your Heavenly Father will visit with you again to recreate the dream if you've lost it, to re-impact you to such a degree that you will not forget how special you really are to Him. Now may the anointing of the Holy One of Israel bring to you on a personal basis what you need, because He's the only one that knows the fullness of that. And let Him bring dreams and visions and words of knowledge with an open heaven so that you will see clearly. And it'll be so strong that you will never lose it again, for God's glory.